Okay, floor is open. What do you want to tackle?
Boy, I got a lot to work with. But I don't know why I take it so seriously.
Nothing, because there's nothing else to do.
I really don't. I get so invested. Oh, my God.
Yeah, sure.
And then I get all worked up and I remember. That's my play. And I can die if I want to.
That's right. It's your karma. You can cry if you want to.
It's over. Let's begin again. Yeah, it's just so ironic. Just really ironic. You have a goal and you get the opposite of it. It's like, wait a minute. I got my wires crossed or something.
You have no control, so that was your first mistake.
So if I have no control, who's pulling these strings? They must have quite a sense of humor.
Really?
I didn't know sadomasochism existed.
Yeah.
Funny.
That's right. Mm-hmm, the demented puppeteers. Laughing at our, poor fortunes.
Tragedy. Comic tragedy.
Yeah.
Time for me to simplify.
Oh my goodness. More?
Even more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Even more.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably just end up on a raft going up and down that creek. Yeah. Living on a float out there in Lake Nockamixon. Coming ashore every once in a while to get a burger.
There you go. But I admire people that know not to collect stuff.
Yeah.
Got to learn how to let go of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll probably clear the head a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's a chicken or egg thing, right? Is the head creating the impulse to collect the stuff, and then the collection of the stuff, right, further complicates the head? So you're in a kind of a loop. Maybe clearing the stuff will help the head, relax or find new entrainment for nourishment that doesn't include, right, mm-hmm. accumulation. Mm-hmm. So it can work both ways. It's interactive, right? The brain chemistry that might suggest the collection, and then the collection reinforces the brain chemistry. So you can, play with both. Change the brain chemistry and then unload the stuff, see where that goes.
Yeah. Like a big goodwill truck or something.
The roads aren't great where you're at, but they pick things up,
Yeah, I think they're scheduled to come these days.
Yeah.
I don't want my backpack to be that big.
Yeah, right. You are so crazy.
But I'm reminded that the more suffering I experience, the more invested I seem to be in myself.
Uh-huh. That loops too. Yeah.
A self that's actually in charge of something.
Yep. Yeah.
In control of something. Could have done it better.
Yeah. You're an expert at coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah. Well, mm. We become, extruded in time as self. So the context and content of what we imagine is occurring in our lives contributes to the reinforcement of being extruded in time as self, which means now I have magical powers of choice, decision making, preference, and priority. I love, in a sense, all the shit that I can find wrong with myself and someone else, because then I can apply my magical powers to figure out what to do about it all. So we might complain about the suffering that we're doing, and I'm not suggesting we're not sincere in that complaint, but secretly we love the suffering that we're doing because it reinforces the sense of being sufficiently powerful or individuated that I can apply my good faith, will, and strength to resolve that suffering. So you never actually suffer. And you never actually resolve the suffering, but we're very, very pleased to stay in the loop of the apparency of suffering and the apparency of relieving the suffering even a little bit from time to time, because you remain, right, incorporated, individual incorporated. So we'll all have good reasons to be, can we say, disparaging when it comes to the content of our suffering. But we fucking love that shit, because now I have things to do and ways that I imagine I can change myself or others or improve my boundaries, my yes, my no, commit myself to a resolution, whether it's New Year's or otherwise, and occupy myself with a plan for resolution. I'm never actually going to resolve the suffering because the suffering itself has very mirage-like tentacles. But I'm just happy to stay in the game, because that sure beats resting in emptiness. What we call mind is expert at conjuring, imagining, projecting, defending, and preserving everything and anything it finds as concerns oneself. That's its game. It doesn't really give a fuck about suffering. And it loves the myth of trying to resolve that suffering, because it stays in the game as individual incorporated.
But there, I don't know where you put addictions, but somewhere in there.
That's an exacerbation.
It's like the need for solace of some sort. And it seems to me like addictions are kind of like that. I just need to chill a little bit here, you know, that kind of thing. And sort of relax from the selfing, but it doesn't really, it's not like emptiness. You know, it's some ego way of feeling like you're being chill.
Yeah. You could say it's temporary or superficial neuronal relief. Yeah. Which has its consequences, because if the addiction turns out to be of a binge quality, which they can be, and or self-shaming after indulging compulsively in the addiction because I literally have no power or control, then we remain in, again, a kind of a dark, right, dense loop of individual incorporated. It can get bad. It can really get bad.
About this thing where I mentioned a few weeks ago, or maybe a month, I started to play solitaire online and freestyle.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just can't wait. It's like I'm at work. I'm thinking, I don't dare put it on my work computer. You know, that would be the last thing I would do.
Yeah.
But when I get home, I'm like, boy, I'd love to do some freestyle right now.
Well, sure.
Pathetic.
Well,
but that's honestly.
But it's a neuronal high. It's a neuronal self-soothing, right?
Yeah.
Which is an endocrine self-soothing. You know, the brain chemistry is whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Serotonin uptake. Free cells equals serotonin uptake. Count me in. Yeah.
It's weird.
Definitely.
Well, you know, it occurred to me that it's like, well, I wouldn't allow myself the time to just like sort of meditate there or just, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will compulsively go to FreeCell.
That's right. There you go.
Because you like, think you're doing something.
That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Not. You yeah. never are, but yeah. think you are.
Well, and the mind is employed with a task.
Well, engagement.
Yeah.
Engagement, usefulness of self, engagement is what's running the show.
Yeah.
So we go for low-hanging fruit to be useful, to be engaged, whether in an addictive loop or a non-addictive loop, in a self-soothing loop, in a serotonin uptake desiring loop, in a hallucinogenic loop, whatever. So the realization part of it, think of it as a complement, not necessarily a remedy. Think of it as complementary to the hunger and the loop for engagement, utility, justification, staying in the game, right? Individual incorporated.
Yeah.
So when the I mean, here's this, you know, here's this being, and it doesn't want to just sit on its hands. It, right? Opposable thumb, neocortex. Fuck, I'm going to have as much fun as I can possibly have. You know, but then we become, of course, wage slaves, and you know, that could become a buzzkill. Wage slaves living under fascistic regimes the world over, kind of a buzzkill. When what we really want to do is dance, sing, fuck, run, territorialize, hunt, eat, repeat. Mm-hmm. Right? Without consequence, without, you know, limitation or boundary, just like the way we behave with the, well, fossil fuels and nukes. But we can see that the burning of the fossil fuels and the reliance on, you know, nukes, whether for energy or for weaponry, that's high stakes, very high stakes, which, you know, some people are beginning to see. It's over. You know, it's too late. We rolled the dice. We went for high stakes engagement, high stakes, you know, serotonin uptake release, fascistic regime, corporatocracy, money, wage slave, addiction, deceit, lying, fake news, repeat. And so the species is absolutely bereft of dignity. Oh, well, sorry. Instead of dismantling funding for the endowment of the arts, which is a sign of sickness, you should cut the military budget back by a third and give that to the arts.
Yeah.
So a species that knows how to dance, sing, make art, fuck, love, repeat, that's a species that's, you know, that takes care of shit. That knows how to care for the biosphere and knows how to care for its young, knows how to interface, you know, constructively, lovingly, right, graciously. But look at us. If we look at the barometer of where the species is going under the nation state model, under the model of being a wage slave and watching the accumulation of wealth end up in the hands of fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer that are, you know, running policy over the rest of the species, ooh, something's gone, you know, something's not gone quite right. But even looking at the sharp pyramid of the way that we have exploited and abused the gift of consciousness and the gift of a biosphere is serotonin uptake. Right? It's not like it's, I mean, have we made a wrong turn? Morally and ethically, you could say, well, yeah, we're fucked. We made a wrong turn, but, you know, this is doing itself, right? The beaver build dams and we exploit and run into extinction walls. We had a good run of it.
The problem is it only takes one asshole.
It does.
You can have the whole planet full of like peaceful, you know, tribal societies under this, and one dude makes a nation state, that's it.
Yeah.
You just go and conquer everybody, and that's, you know, you can't.
Well, we've seen it since
neighbors are,
we've seen it since long before, you know, the 230 or 40 years ago of the anniversary of the United States, you know, tried a different model of sustainability, ethical, moral, cultural, political, and financial stability. Oh, well, that got flushed. But even long before it, if you look over, you know, the course of recorded history, you see the serotonin uptake, you know, malevolence, right? Everywhere you turn, whether it was the creation of the church, right, or the Crusades, or whatever, you know, or the insanity of all of the popes vying for influence over that church, you know, blah, 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 blah.
I like that story. It's like Jesus says, no churches, everyone's equal. As soon as he dies, the first dude makes a church.
Yeah.
it doesn't even last one generation.
Yeah, that's how, but that's the same as I can't wait to get home and play Free Cell. Really. It's the same, right, metaphoric driving force. It just has different
structure, it seems like.
Yeah.
Kind of structure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're fucked. We're crazy. I mean, to think that we're going to be unfucked by practicing Buddhism is fucked. It's not true. Look at all the neurotic, you know, self-congratulatory Buddhists. Or Hindus, or Zoroasters, or Pebble Hillians, or Starfuckers, or Night Sky Sangha Fuckers. Wherever you go, it's all, you got to be kidding me.
They have deep knowledge.
Yeah, no one's got squat. It's all the same. It's all coercion. But okay, it's all coercion. No big deal. Is there anything left or remaining worth your time? Worth the vitality of the gift of your consciousness to, you know, reconstitute some kind of dignity. That's, you know, why go to mindfulness? Because you're trying to reconstitute some kind of dignity. Why go to anything? For that same reason. So you say there's this, you know, curious kind of schizophrenic battle going on with what we call the human being or human nature, between the short-sighted and exploitive impulse to territorialize and the deeper, more sacred, call it, nature to cultivate dignity, which is to cultivate cessation. No, freedom from one's own inner schizophrenia, one's inner dementia, one's inner disorientation as creature. Not just super fly, it's super fun. Why is this kind of a conversation... for argument's sake, you know, kind of rare. Why would I want to go get fucking messages from ascended masters or shit like that? Rather than, I mean, get down to it. But
this is totally off the board, though. I mean, this is totally ungraspable, you know. So people, you know, and when I first came, I'm like, What's he getting at?
He wishes he knew, yeah.
I mean, it took a while, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah. I don't know. Let's see. You know, I mean.
Yeah, it does. It takes a little application.
Yeah.
It does. You have to roll up your sleeves with this.
Because I was waiting for the line, you know, the corporate logo and stuff like that.
So
for the
shtick. Right.
Yeah.
The CD or whatever. Something. Yeah. Jesus. No.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm making that up. I have no idea what I really thought, but that's what I said.
Yeah, who could remember? Yeah.
That's what I think I thought. I think I may have thought.
That's true all the time.
It's true.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think I thought. But I don't really know.
But I would have thought.
I don't know what my experience is now. I can't possibly know what my experience was then.
That's exactly.
Which is one of the, you know, call it the key you know, insights of tearing your mind apart. We think that we can recall the past with accuracy, diplomacy, and justifiable reliability, when if you look at present, you don't know what the fuck is going on. So you only construct the imagination of the past through some kind of, you know, impersonal and random selective process that places you in the position to say you know what happened. But you don't dare do that at present, because you'll discover, if you do try to do it at present, that you can't. You can only construct events, circumstances, and, you know, call it links, chronological or otherwise, in imagination. But and that, I mean, fuck, that tells you something about what you think is happening now. You don't know what's happening now. You can't know what's happening now. If anything's happening now, I would be hard-pressed to say what it is. Anybody would. And yet we can be loaded with opinions and strategies and preferences, likes and dislikes, right? Agreeability and disagreeability, passive-aggressive, right? Interferences, attention-seeking. I mean, on and on and on and on. And all of those are what? Are those a response to some kind of psychic frustration, psychic disorientation? We don't really know. You know, nobody really knows. I mean, you can come up with all kinds of fun cosmologies as why we are the way that we are, but what are we? What is happening? I mean, even if we go to extinction, which is probably pretty much, you know, guaranteed, and perhaps shortly, we still don't know what happened. You know, when the methane finally gets released and the oceans rise and the fisheries die, and then there's, you know, chaos at the social level, whether in the third world or the first world, or burgeoning, you know, fascism and, you know, more corporate abuse, more lies and fake news and manipulation.
Yeah, so here's a question.
Thank God.
How does this individuation attach itself to consciousness, and why?
I can go there.
I thought so.
I can go there. Again, you know, all is blasphemy, right? What? But all is blasphemy. But we can work poetically or constructively with blasphemy. That's all we ever do anyway. So, what, you know, why stop now? I dream of Jeannie, Gilligan's Island. Use yourself, use your present experience like you would a fine reduction. Just keep evaporating all that's untrue. See what remains. What remains? Fuck, what remains? If I'm not dwelling in imagination, projection, explanation, justification, commitment, or vow of any kind, what's happening? Well, we don't really know. Because if you're not assigning, you know, meaning or genesis or implication to present experience, you don't know what's happening. You don't have a clue. And yet, this is clearly, as best I can say, clearly presenting in the way that it's presenting, which includes everything that we think we do know, right? All the tooling that we're capable of, whether for the benefit of humankind or for its, you know, abuse. So if you boil it all down, we could say that at a lower frame of orientation, a refined frame of, you know, orientation or engagement or encounter with the plasma of present experience, one would not skip a beat to say, my words, perceiving and conceiving. What's happening? Perceiving, conceiving. Boil it all down. Perceiving and conceiving. I mean, it's irrefutable, right? Sentient aliveness is irrefutable. You can't shake it off.
Which comes first? They both come at the same time.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing. There's no chronology. Yeah. It's not a chicken or egg thing. It's not.
Or a seed and a plant.
Yes, it's not. It's not really. We like to think, you know, typical way mind works, or, you know, cosmologies work, whether it's physics, religious, secular, you name it, is has a right a kind of a chronological arc.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, I mean, even the fucking Big Bang. Well, what? Tommy, what was there before the Big Bang? Well, a singularity, you idiot. Everybody knows that. You're like, well, what the fuck is that? What the fuck was the singularity? I don't know. Whatever this was before the Big Bang. Though it doesn't fly. The physics don't support the presumption of this having been a so-called singularity prior to the Big Bang, because they find a so-called observable universe that has two, call it homogeneous, a temperature. The entire manifestation is somehow curiously too homogeneous, even though it's vast beyond, you know, imagination or comprehension. But through the instrumentation that we're capable of designing, developing through our own perceptive bias, and then stringing it out to the night to see what the fuck we find, it's like, this shouldn't or couldn't have happened if this were the result of a Big Bang emerging from a singularity. Doesn't work. Physics doesn't work.
Even because the older universe that we can see from far, far distant galaxies should be cooler.
Cooler, hotter. I mean, the whole myth.
Because it took longer, you know.
Yes, the whole myth of inflation.
We're seeing it.
Yes, the myth of an extruded inflation occurring as a Big Bang event, yeah, when a singularity got bored. It just doesn't work. So, you know, we were talking the other day, some of the recent cool physicists are saying, oh, fuck that, we know what this is. The known three-dimensional universe is the collapse of a black hole of a fourth-dimensional star. So a fourth-dimensional star, good luck finding one of those, breaks down. But as a fourth dimension breaks down or goes black hole and therefore becomes maddeningly introspective, it's capable of creating the appearance of a three-dimensional universe. So we are the flatulence of a fourth-dimensional star.
So that black hole is like a big projector.
Yeah.
Which answers zero questions, because how does the four-dimensional get there to begin with?
That's
as bad as any like crazy religion. Like, oh, God created all this. Well,
yeah, yeah.
Created that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You're not getting anywhere ever. Yeah.
If you're not praying to the turtle, you have to go. Which is what we get. What were the Crusades? If you're not praying to the turtle, you have to go. Over and over again. That's the same shit you get when you're a little kid and you go to school. Say Pledge Allegiance to the flag. Play nice. Spend more time with your pencil than playing with blocks. It's you know.
So the question that this circle seems to pose is, what would happen if we had no goal or objective?
Well, let's go back to your original question, because, of course, we got waylaid. My fault. Mm-hmm. Perceiving and conceiving is so startling. It's so off the wall.
So you're saying like you perceive something in your mind that's then making...
Perceiving and conceiving, I'm just suggesting for fun, is the genesis of individuation. Before even the imagination of the body comes into being. Because it's subtler. It's before gross body.
Well, something has to be the perceiver and the perceiver.
No.
Well, I mean, but that's the feeling you get from it.
Yeah, that's right. So the feeling tone of the blissful, ecstatic, maddening demonstration of sentience itself, which is doing perceiving and conceiving, goes I.
Because it doesn't happen like at age 6 months or something.
No. Apparently not.
Two or something.
We can't remember. It might be there. We can't remember. And it's hard to communicate with a newborn to say, well, how's your perceiving and conceiving thing going? I'm not perceiving and conceiving. That's your trip, man. Right. Yeah, fuck off. Lay off. But if there's no chronology, if there's no genesis, if there's no singularity, if the fourth star physics turns into some other physics a month from now, a year from now, fifth dimensional. I mean, the guy was listening to the other day that, Frank suggested.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional, sixth dimensional. He didn't have any limits on his imagination, which, of course, I, love. But you're like, dude,
And anything goes.
I mean, you can free associate all the way to the diner.
Isn't that like string theory? It doesn't have 10 dimensions, and that finally explains everything.
That's right. Right. So even the fourth
just wasn't cut.
The physics. The thing about the physics, if we take these intrepid thinkers, at face value, they're trying to resolve the internal paradox of presently accepted Big Bang theory, from singularity to Big Bang to inflation to uniform temperature throughout the known universe. And they're like, no, that can't fucking work. That model doesn't work. So the fourth dimensional star going, black hole could generate a spontaneous, call it plenum, in which the so-called known universe that we see can occur as a constancy without having been extruded explosively from a singularity. So it's actually a spontaneous multidimensional apparition, not a mechanical one. Not a mechanical one. It's right. Yeah. See, consciousness is not mechanical. It's not obeying space, time, materiality, whether it be photonic or subatomic. It's not really obeying the periodic table the electromagnetic spectrum.
There's no mass to it.
It's not mechanical.
So there's something about the life, that whatever life is, the great mystery that animates.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Sentience is like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's that good. It really is. It's easy for us to get depressed and bored and da 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 when the fact is like, wow, fuck. So we habituate to the miracle of sentience, perceiving and conceiving, and we may as well go with I. Because this is contorting present experience, and then for however magically it does this, it's presuming past, present, and future. So the whole genesis of conceiving, perceiving, I, past, present, future, boundary field, mechanistically appearing known universe coming out of a Big Bang inflation event from a so-called singularity, or being the internalized, fart of a fourth dimensional star, it still doesn't answer a fucking thing about anything, because sentience itself is just not understood. The best of the neurophysicists and neuro whatever and sub-biological doohickeys and, all those lovely folks, and you got to hand it to them. I mean, those are serious disciplines, right? That's just not casual shit. I mean, that's serious shit in terms of applying yourself to a course of study. But, David Chalmers is like, well, consciousness is the hard problem. It's the hard problem. We don't know, because we can look at the biology and the cesspools that we came out of, so-called, right, Darwinian cosmology, whatever kind of cosmology, and we look at the physical, mathematical, mechanical structures of whatever this is, and we're like, why is this self-aware? They don't fucking know.
And that's the answer, right? I don't know. Like, that's where they have to just stop. Right there.
Well, that's where the yogi goes.
Yeah.
And a handful of physicists do, too.
Yeah.
They do. Right. They're like,
can't be explained by mechanistic.
Yeah, they immolate. They immolate and they wake up. I mean, apparently it happened to David Bohm. He was one of the more outspoken through his association with Krishnamurti and his own brilliant, depthful appreciation and exposition of quantum mechanics. He was like, quantum mechanics, Krishnamurti, quantum mechanics, Krishnamurti.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Just woke the fuck up. The same is true of, so-called Wittgenstein. you know. I mean, even what's his name woke up at the end of his life, the movie reviewer. Oh, Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Seems like it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, honey, this is so different than what we think. Yeah, you know, bam, which is the fruition of I don't know. So the sentience, whatever that is or isn't, is goes boldly forth, presuming, perceiving, conceiving, I, therefore I suffer, I organize the world, I get my way, I don't get my way, I control, I decide, I rape, pillage, and kill, I feed, house, and clothe. What? Some other, you know, I don't know what the fuck to call it, dimension, appreciation, revelation, discontinuity, is also curiously exactly present. It's not like you're going anyplace else. It's not like a wake, if there is a wake, is anyplace else. It's not. It can't be something else. It's just exactly what this is or isn't.
But there's a certain feeling tone that changes when...
Yes.
When seeing sort of does a shift.
Yeah, definitely.
And how and why.
Yeah.
Can't be answered.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, we go from, let's just say, the... the implication of condensation, right? Perceiving, conceiving, I. That's a you know, a condensation. It's a density. Then absolute, call it disengagement, which is still saying too much, from conceiving, perceiving, I. This is not conceiving. It's not perceiving. Even conceiving and perceiving, which sound like pretty reliable, you know, bottom line apparatus, is not actually what's occurring. The perceiving and the conceiving, again, are, you could say, brought into view through an impersonal, let's say, vector of preference, an impersonal vector of interpretation. Are you perceiving? Are you conceiving? Maybe not. So the fun of, you know, the liberation adventure is like, fuck. A moment ago I thought I was perceiving and conceiving and had a problem as I. Because I mistook this miracle of sentience to be interpretable as perceiving and conceiving and therefore occurring to, right, a meat puppet. But that just happened to have my name on the lapel. Right? The incorporation of I incorporated. But what if, here's present experience. Don't know what it is. Like Van Morrison. Enlightenment, don't know what it is. That was his phrase.
I don't know what that song is.
It's a great song. Enlightenment, don't know what it is. Dan Morrison, yeah, he went there.
When you like first said that, perceiving and conceiving, I was hit with like the, oh, and then you're just perceiving like what you're conceiving, and then like the continuity just like shook loose for a second.
Nice,
there.
Yeah, nice.
And like I've had other like, I don't know, I guess you said like spiritual experiences, but like,
yeah,
this one was like, it was like really weird in that,
yeah,
other things which would be like considered like to be excluded from it were like not like,
yeah,
full personhood, everything like still happening,
yes,
everything, and all like the egoity and like,
yes,
on the stage, it's all happening. It was all like included in that, like,
all included,
all like a part of it for like,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
weird, like,
it's the weirdest peanut butter and jelly sandwich you've ever had.
That was some weird shit.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's why this is fun, at least, you know, for me. For everyone else, that's their problem. But this is about, if it's about anything, I don't fucking know, what can be referred to as a direct encounter. If this were a philosophy, we can get that anywhere. This is not a philosophy. Well, it can be philosophical,
yeah,
but don't rest there. No, well, what you want is to be profoundly, yeah, disturbed.
Because you can take the philosophy part and be like, you know, you sort of get there and you're like, oh, I feel sort of free, but like you're like sort of assailed, you know, things can knock you out of that. But like,
oh yeah,
like I don't know, weird, like all that happened and it was like, no, like that's,
yep,
that's all it too, like,
yep,
like it's all,
yeah. So it has this, there's this bizarre paradox that has filterless inclusivity, but is not relying or dependent on perceiving or conceiving.
It's weird too, because like all that has sort of stopped and I feel like normal again, but like everything is literally exactly the same.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, I don't know.
Well, and the whole idea of reduction, I don't know what sieving means, but it's like instead of conceiving or perceiving, it's intermixed, because you know, as soon as one,
it's
back and forth, you know, it's like constant back and forth, and it sort of blends into just a sieving.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, I think this reduction, I mean, I do like the, you know, if we're going to go with a meme, I think reduction is about this lower level meme as you can get. I think the same way we were talking about dimensions. I just think of, you know, space time instead of length and width and depth and time. It's like boom, space time. Now the whole Big Bang, theoretically, if you would say there was no space time, and now there is space time, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, but just the whole idea of reduction.
Particularization.
Down, down, down. Yeah.
Where does I come from? Fuck if I know. Well, what the fuck is going on? I really don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the I is. I don't know. There is none. It's clear that there is none. I mean, clear as a bell. It's like, what? I what? But that doesn't evaporate anything. The inclusivity of being as much I as you feel like being or don't feel like being, and the way that you either enjoy or don't enjoy the whatever the fuck is going on doesn't need to change. It's not your concern. It's not your fucking concern.
Yeah.
We're concerned. It's not yours. Yeah. We're concerned about the way things are or the way things turn out or the way things were, because perceiving and conceiving suggests individuation. So all of a sudden, we're really concerned.
Well, maybe seeing doesn't.
You know, no, it doesn't.
Perceiving and conceiving does. But you take the per and con out, and it's just seeing.
That's the new t-shirt. If you take the per and con out, it's just seeing. What?
A little perverted and concocted.
Just take the per and the con out, and it's seeing. Good luck with that. So we look at what is driving the poor seeker fucker that's tired of being a seeker fucker and wants derivation from this miasma for relief. Whether that relief is, you know, enlightenment or fasting or, you know, who knows? Because it can be anything. Well, the relief that you seek yesterday is a different kind of relief that you'll seek tomorrow or right now. Because even relief changes with the texture and the componentry of present so-called perceiving and conceiving. You know, like the guy the guy goes to the rabbi and says, "Jesus Christ, Rabbi, my wife brought her mother to live with us." We're fucked. The rabbi says, "Oh well, you know, just go get a goat and bring it in the house." What? So the guy brings the goat in the house. You know, he comes back to see the rabbi. He says, "I don't know, Rabbi, the mother-in-law, you know, and the goat." He says, "Oh, you know, bring a calf into the house." So the guy keeps following the rabbi's instruction and brings all these animals into his house, and then it's just fucking impossible. The guy's like, he's ready to blow a cork, and the rabbi says, "Well, just now have all the animals leave." He never complained about the mother-in-law again. Problem solved. That's what made him the rabbi.
I thought the animals were supposed to drive the mother-in-law.
No. She's fine.
What I'm honing in on that is an attachment to a certain stasis. A comfort zone of, like, this is cool. This is peaceful. I love this.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that? Don't bother. Close that door, please. You turn down.
There you go.
The heat. Jeez, the heat's got to go up, you know?
Yeah.
That wind. Jeez.
Yep.
And then the idea of this, you know, it's constantly moving.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what I was reminded by with that. You add these irritants, and then you realize that everything and nothing
Yeah.
It is a potential irritant.
That's right.
And or the zone of aha.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But again, I'm
lovely.
Curious, that collector. The collector of experiences, the rememberer.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
The conjurer.
Yes.
And that keeps showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a curiosity.
Sure. Well, this, whatever this is or isn't, fuck if I know, we could say anthropomorphizes with such ferocity, such adept ferocity, that all of a sudden, you don't even know how you got there. You're I, you're the body. You're the individual, you're the particular, you're the condensed. And then the preference sets, whether biological or neurological or emotional or spiritual, come pouring in. And then you'll find yourself in, homeostatic insufficiency 24/7. So then your principal relationship with living is adversarial. So then you go to the extinction wall. It doesn't take that long, really. It's a short leap, really, from swamp pool to, top of the food chain, motherfucker, extinction wall. Bam.
Don't you think memory has a lot to do with all of this?
But what do we see? But memory's not an object. We're referring to the magical capacity to actually presume moment to moment that we are the durable accumulator, that I am the durable I, the perceiver and the conceiver. And now I have, right, volumes and volumes of files and things to recall, which appear to influence how I behave the so-called next moment. And the genesis of all that is, we call it memory, but nobody really knows what memory is. Even all the people that study memory don't even know what memory is. They can stimulate parts of the brain and try to derive, predictable models about what's going on in the brain and what happens if you sever the lobes or if you don't, or what's over here and what's over there. So that's, that's like a map of Doylestown.
But
no different.
See, I don't know. I mean, to me, I see memory as, we have this mass in our head.
Miraculous apprehension is interpreted through the habit of perceiving and conceiving. That's it.
Well, I mean, at the same time, there's stuff going on.
No, imagined.
Electromagnetic.
No, there's not. Imagined. There's not. You see, because that becomes that nothing. It's wonderful. It's it's materialistic. You see, what's happening? Looping back.
I'm not talking about the soul. I'm talking about memory. I think memory is overrated because I have a lot of memory.
That's right.
So you can get away with it.
You're beginning from losing.
That's right. That's why no memory.
Any evidence that you or anyone can find that is then construed as being causal, because causal suggests pre-existing, presently effusing, and then outcome or implication.
It's like an object.
Yes.
It's creating an object.
Yes.
There's no fucking object.
There's nothing. So this is just in the nature of apparitional cosmology that can say, but the brain, but microcurrent, but the endocrine system,
it's like jumping on a ride.
The pituitary gland.
Jumping on that brain thing.
We want to say that consciousness, the miracle of sentience, that's like occurs by virtue of materialistic predispositions.
But I don't think so. I mean, to me, it's just this. It's like having a tape recorder. You got a tape recorder that's intricate and all, bundled together and stuff like that. That's a whole lot different than just the raw encounter.
What he said a moment ago is it's not different. That you see, and this is impossible really to convey. It's just because it doesn't have any boundary field. But you see, let's call it the legitimacy of everything and clinging to none of it, because the apparition doesn't quit. So you're like, what am I escaping from? Nothing. The apparition doesn't quit. Why am I loading a million preferences on myself and everybody else so I can find the sweet spot here? Doesn't quit.
It's so much more baffling after that little like mini flash, if you will, because before it seemed like there was sort of like an order to things, but now it's just like madness.
Yes.
But it's somehow ordered enough.
Yes.
To have like.
Yes.
Resulted in you thinking there's an order. And yeah. Like, what the fuck?
That's like, right. Like, that's right. What the fuck?
It's like just like throwing a can of paint at the wall and like there's a Picasso.
Yeah.
Like, but it's
yeah.
Like dripping away and it's like, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's like, what the
fuck? I don't know. Yeah. There, you know, on a phone call or whatever not that long ago, someone was asking Petey about what he was meaning by inherent intelligence. Yeah. Inherent intelligence. It's like, this shouldn't be like anything at all. Really, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's no reason anywhere that you can find that this should be the way that it is. And yet, fuck me. So there's an inherency of what you could call a certain kind of patternistic, if not deterministic, weird rule set for how manifest experience pretends to appear as conceiving and perceiving. And it's
like somehow seems to lead to like going back to what it really is. Like what the
yeah.
hell? Like
yeah.
The fact that it would be there and then it would like make the image of the trap and then like have the trap resolve or the image. It's like what?
Yep.
Even like one of those things is like it just seems so impossible. And it's just like this
yes.
impossibility built upon impossibility.
Streaming impossibility. Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's the liberated view. Get on board. Put your seatbelt on or take your seatbelt off and jump out the window, you know. Smoke a doobie in the back. Well, what the fuck? Ride shotgun. Streaming impossibility. See, this is a reacquaintance with the profound, you know, call it absolute madness, irrefutable madness of sentience. Rather than sentience saying, I know what this is. I am perceiving. I am conceiving. I have a body. I was born in a universe created from a singularity that went inflation at the Big Bang. And now, you know, I'm going to go to the inauguration and make America great again. You're like, dude, this is just, we're passing time before the great extinction, which is just around the corner. You're not making anything great again. If you doubled and tripled the budget of the endowment of the arts, I might have a different opinion for a really short period of time. But if you're turning this into a fascistic corporate malaise of insider bullies and abductees, destroying the dignity of a democracy that was trying to do the best it could be to resolve integrity, to resolve dignity, yeah, well, this is over.
That's like the hyper-investment side.
That's right.
Hyper-investment in itself, in
yeah.
the world,
yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah. See, art relieves us from the bane of individuality. Materialism, as in investment, makes it worse. And as it gets worse, it gets angrier. It gets more emboldened. It becomes sick. Distorted, unsustainable. Oh well. Perfect as is, right? Hey, I'm down with it. I got no dog in the fight. I got no goat in the fight. And I'm getting along well with my mother-in-law, which is really strange. It's really interesting when you really look at the you know, call it the lifelong craving, the lifelong instinct, the lifelong curiosity about the sacred, however that shows up for you. You know, like, what if? You know, like, what the fuck? I'm hearing angels. What the hell? What are they singing? I can hear them, but I don't know what they're singing. So when you look at these incredible, really depthful parts of ourselves that, right, just must unfold, must resolve, must, you know, touchstone, you can see a whole set of really kind of curious, if not perfect, body of motivation. Why yoga? Why meditation? Why India? Why Virginia? Why? Right? I don't know. I just had to. I just had to. Why Jesus? Why heroin? I had to. I just had to. How could it have been otherwise? How could it have been different? Then, you know, it starts to mature. It starts to open up, and you start to look at or have even the vocabulary and the experiential capacity to look at the presently appearing myth of conceiving and perceiving and go, fuck, this is not perceiving, nor is it conceiving. It's not. It doesn't quit doing what it's doing, but it's not perceiving, it's not conceiving, and there's no fucking way that it's I.
That's what you mean by anthropomorphizing. There's an I looking.
Yes.
And everything must have an I.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
In my play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. When that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah, because the capacity of sacred irreverence, for as long as it does, insists on finding an object and a subject. Insists on participating in a cosmology. Yeah. Then, through whatever magic, stops doing that. Stops being interested, right, in the fomentation and fermentation of insisting on participating in a cosmology that works for my benefit. You're like, dude, fuck that. Then you free up in, you know, increments, let's say, even though there are none. And then everyone can fuck off. And it doesn't matter if you're suffering. And even if it matters that you're suffering, it doesn't matter that you're suffering. So it's okay that it matters and doesn't matter. Because what?
I like that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is that,
well, you prefer that it doesn't
matter. There's very few places I can go and feel like shit and nobody says anything. Nobody.
Yeah, we're cool.
They just let it be.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, feel better.
Yeah, and it's a relief that way.
Suffer, motherfucker.
Because it doesn't amplify.
Yeah.
The investment in
that's right.
Selfhood is like oh,
that's
you're
right.
Doing really well. Oh, you're sucky and whatever.
Yeah, perceiving and conceiving is not what this is, and that's not what's happening. If perceiving and conceiving are not what's happening, then you're like. I don't have a leg to stand on. I am a total poser. Knowledge? No. Enlightenment? No way. What?
And then there's no pressure to change.
No.
Get better or
no.
Change and get worse, whatever. There's no pressure, really.
You may as well eat a Soylent Green sandwich or jump in the blender. And feed your friends. I love you guys. Eating Raul. It's giddy when there's no authority. When no one has anything, including your saga fucking Dada. That we love him to death, but what did he have? Thanks. That was great. Glad we met. You know, it would have been easier to go like, yeah, conceiving and perceiving, fuck that. I don't know what you're talking about. Who wants soup? Who wants soup? Ramana Maharshi, she's sitting around smiling too much. Stop fucking smiling. But, you know, Brahman does what Brahman does. You can't stop it, right? That's what's going to happen to you. You know, Brahman does what Brahman does. So it's going to fuck with you however it wants to.
No one can deny there's a certain fascination that draws people collectively around something.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
And that must indicate that there's a commonality of consciousness that tickles in similar ways, or else we'd be completely random, interested and disinterested in any environment. But there's this, like, a good concert.
Yeah.
Or a great orator.
Yes.
A book or a movie or a,
sure.
an instrument.
The tendency to be interested in the thing and want to go deeper and deeper and deeper into it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some mechanism.
Yeah.
The wanting to go deeper mechanism.
Yeah.
That I could relate to that.
Self-revelatory illumination.
Yeah, and then it's amplified by the hit of what appears to be other.
Yeah, sure.
Other together.
That's right. Kind of thing. Yeah. How else do you organize, you know, to kill 6 million Jews or 20 million gypsies or 30 million Christians or 40 million Russians or how many Cambodians? You know, Zimbabweans, Congolese.
How come Scientologists never go on that list? The extermination list.
They're on the other side of the list, if anything.
Yeah, there's too many Scientologists.
Yeah, there is too many Scientologists.
I don't think they'd be on the other side. Like they're the ones doing the extermination.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the natural thought about it, right? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is thrilling. Philosophy, science, anthropology, sociology, the arts, mayhem, criminality, the, you know, the mafia state of the USSR, the fascistic state of China, you know, the curious democracy of India split into millions of factions and languages and various kinds of rites and rituals, the whole palette of, you know, South America, the African continent, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The leadership, the banking, the financing, the Rothschilds, you're like, wah, wah. It can get really fun. Then you can throw in a Simon so-and-so and start going fourth, fifth, sixth dimension, Pleiadian, Arcturian, a bunch of fucking alien tribes that I never even heard of and what they're all doing with each other, you know? I mean, then it's just, you know, it's a circle jerk from hell. You may as well have a glass of scotch and just chill the fuck out. Or not.
All right, in terms of crazy theories, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't the destruction of habitat, global warming theory sort of contradict like the Rothschild theory? Like, you think that they would be capable of creating some big
absolutely.
Plot to control, they'd be capable of being like, maybe let's not destroy the Earth while we're trying to control it? Like,
you'd think. Yeah, you'd think.
Like one of them's got to be wrong, right?
Yeah.
Or both?
Yeah, but look at any addiction. If I'm binging, purging, drinking,
well, I guess you're killing yourself the whole while.
Masturbating, whatever I'm doing with whatever frequency I'm compelled to do it. If I'm a 0.1%er playing Risk with the entire world, I might not be able to find in myself or seek the consensus you were speaking of to say habitat, warming, oceans, fisheries, acidification, food chain. Elon hasn't yet built the model for us to go to Mars unless there are, you know, secret either extraterrestrial extraplanetary vehicles or subterranean shopping malls where the 0.1% will go while the other 7-point-something billion perish under too hot a sun and then walk out and flip the switch and change the technology and the paradigm to suit themselves repopulating the world.
I mean, it would just seem like if their goal was, like, you know, reduction of the population and control, they would, like, at least consider, like, maybe not 100% reduction.
They don't. No, no. When you look at the models for population reduction theories, as close as you're allowed to get to them, you know, whoever's harboring them, no, it's from, like, 7-point-something billion to, like, 2 and change, 2 to 3.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe they're going from like 7 to 0 billion is like, you know,
measured genocide.
Consider that. If,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, if that's even, you know, going on, you know.
We can go anywhere.
Could be, you know,
yeah,
you know.
We can go anywhere with it. Yeah.
I mean, are you sure that that is the model they embrace necessarily?
What can we be sure of?
I mean,
what do you mean?
The whole climate change, like, disbelief in the whole idea of man-made climate change.
Who?
Like Rothschilds and folks like that.
Tillerson, ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, some of them just seem like that's not happening. And you'd think that, like, if your goal was to, like, mold the Earth in the way you want it, you might want to consider, like, not killing everyone. I mean, I don't know, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah. Hard to know. Could be out of hand, like everything is.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be the ultimate joke, though. I mean, you spend, you know, however many centuries and all these generations creating the perfect earth, and you're like, ah, and it just blows up.
Yeah. Whoops. Oops.
It's like cooking this big Thanksgiving dinner, walking out the table and just tripping. And
yeah, the turkey and the everything goes. Yeah, that's right.
Toast right there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that. Right.
Except
so
it takes hundreds of years. To
cool. Yeah, really. It's a slow. I'm falling. Yeah, really, I love turkey. Yeah. Yeah, so you're, you know, whatever we call mind, imagination, cosmology, capacity to enjoy or not enjoy, whatever presence is or isn't, is so what's the wild fucking ride. If we talk about it from a more materialistic meaning, even yogic point of view, right, you go back to this basic, let's call it impulse function, like, what can I do? What can I think? What can I feel? What can I imagine? What can I do? What can I think? What can I feel? What can I imagine? And that just, you know, ongoing. You're not gonna reel in the mind's capacity to free associate according to, you know, various forms of dementia. It's just gonna run. And then in the running, you can see that we also become agreeably fascinated with it. Even if we're suffering behaviorally or, you know, psychosomatically, we're fascinated with it. So if you look at the yogic point of view, you know, whether it's the Buddhist or the Hindu or whatever fucking models, Dzogchen, throw them all in, they all suck. It doesn't really fucking matter. But you're like, okay, here's this. And if you can possibly get a glimpse through just a, you know, very ordinary, simple, non-stressful, call it, you know, stillness. Doesn't have to be rigid. Doesn't have to be like, you know, that group over, you know, Dale's thing. You don't have to deploy formidable, you know, rigidity, Zen rigidity. Even though that Zen rigidity, it's interesting, that Zen rigidity is a metaphor of the stillness of mind that occurs when conceiving and perceiving evaporate. But to try to get
to make it happen by physical means.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing with physical yoga, with asana yoga. Right. If someone is enlightened, they might dance in a weird kind of way and start pretzeling about because they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves and they just feel like it. It feels good. Right. Then we think, well, if I do that, I'll get to be, you know, where that gal is. It's all reverse engineering. So, you know, over at the Clearwater Sangha, they're like, I'm going to fucking rigidify this fucker all the way to enlightenment. It doesn't work that way. But the impulse for that level of, you know, call it stillness, is that. It's got the same harmonic, if you will, of awakened mind.
It's almost like matter hungry for antimatter.
Yes. Well, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
How do I resolve? Well,
yeah, so you get a glimpse. It's possible to get a glimpse, and not just a glimpse, but start to get actually more facile with it. You're like, this is not conceiving. No, fuck you. It's not perceiving. No, sorry. Not happening. Not fucking happening. And you don't even have to put up that much of a fuss because it's so subtle. It takes you. You don't have to make a statement about it.
And that's the difference between reeling it in, which is what I think, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the physical.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Versus just dissipation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But does it?
You see, craving.
Does it naturally dissipate, or does it constantly pull us, or lead us, or the strings just.
Both.
There's always that.
It's both. Sure. It's both always, but it doesn't feel that way because most of my life I'm on the receiving end of some kind of constipation, right? My consciousness and my adversarial relationship with living is kind of a constipation. So I think the only thing this does is fuck me up. And I'm tired of it and irritable. So I'm going to drink or smoke or whatever, or, you know, poke my way out of it. Yeah, because it's going to fuck me up. I just, fuck this. It's just be fucking me up. So that's why we respond the way that we respond. So the art then of the yoga, if you have the maturity, the discipline, the good fortune, the miraculous, I don't know what the fuck, you're like, wait, time
Literally.
So you give yourself two things, a big time out, and you slap your mind.
Well, that's it. This is sort of like the slap part. I've done the timeout thing for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, like notice, release.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Sure.
And no real investment per se.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still this self.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it? It's just a nagging motherfucker. Yeah.
Better, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goes back to your original question. Yeah. How does that occur? Why is it so compulsive and nagging? Why does my identification go to this default condition instead of rest in being? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Right.
But you see the seeing of it. You see the joy that comes when you see the impossibility of getting underneath it releases the grip.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, you don't have to keep the hood up and keep fiddling with the engine.
That's right. Yeah, just drive the car into the lake. Get the hell out of there.
That's right.
Just drive it into the fucking lake. Yeah. So it's very weird, isn't it? Because we're motivated to respond to particularization or suffering or irritability or the default way that consciousness seems to be, you know, sodomizing us. And yet the magical release is when you see A, you can't do anything about it. And that's the good news. B, that's the good news. When you really see that you can't do, and more importantly, needn't do anything about it, then you get a moment of such bizarre inclusivity that you can't find a quarrel in the universe. Because the myth of conceiving and perceiving is not running your show.
I like that. Inclusivity, bizarre inclusivity. I like that.
Yeah. How do you create a catalog of what's happening to you now?
Because if I'm efforting to exclude something, I'm generating a degree
too late.
Of suffering.
Yes. Yeah, if you're excluding, too late. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you did mention the Zen thing. Not this. In a sense.
Isn't it a fine vibratory, call it relationship with how do I fucking relate to this and not get caught in any kind of anticipation or rejection, not get caught in implication, not become a product once again of time? Wow, that's like, I don't know how to do that. Because when you really look at your habit base, you're all about time. You're all about implication. You're all about being useful. You're all about engagement, suffering or otherwise. You're all about controlling knobs and levers and whistles and bells so that you can stay in the game as the incorporated eye. So you see just how kind of like ferocious and impersonal the engagement of myth is. You're like, I can't outsmart this. I give up. I can't. No, it's good. It's too good. I'm bested. Then what can happen is your intelligence is so non-particular because you're looking at the gestalt of total inclusivity. You're like,
that's it.
I'm done. I can't. It doesn't have to be a gracious surrender either. It could be really gnarly. And why not? The other fun part is that if there's a discovery to be made, and I'm not saying there is one, because that would be too weird. How, where, why, what, when, whom, in what manner, right? What context? What presumptions? What am I going to be making a discovery about? If you think there is a discovery to be made, and if you think that discovery is about something, you're fucked again. How about there is no discovery to be made, nor could it possibly be about anything? Then that's the day you stop going to the master and asking more questions just so that you can get feedback on how well you're doing and what you should try next. Because you're like, I'm done. No.
It's like Morgan Freeman in the Schindler's, in the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck. I've got a Stanford thing and I'll go back to my cell.
That was the day they let him out.
Yeah, and that's the day they let him out.
Yeah, nice, right?
Just do your thing. I'm going
to
go back.
Friends, I've been here for so many times trying to convince you of how rehabilitated I am, and I can't do it anymore. They're like, you're free.
Yeah, it's a really cool scene. It speaks to
it. It was that good? Yeah, it does speak to it.
The zone of efforting agonies. Fuck it.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be damned. I've been sitting on that thing all
time. I've been sleeping on a 18-karat gold stone for, you know, I never knew I was wealthy. I just fell asleep on it every night. Yeah. I mean, it's really giddy because when we're approaching, you know, call it something as fucking stupid as realization. We're approaching it with a very weighty inertia, right? The, you know, countless years and experiences of frustration or disappointment or being taken advantage of and gone for a ride and money and sex and whatever the hell has gone on in our beautiful lives. And we're like, just like Van Morrison, enlightenment, I don't know what it is. Then this other, you know, call it a release, even though there's no release, sneaks up on you. Nothing sneaks up on you. Nothing's going on. Because time, right? Time is so weird. Did something happen before now? No. Is anything happening now? No. Is something going to happen a moment from now? No. It's not. And yet, of course it is. It always has. You're not going to resolve it because it's not mechanical. It's not causal.
That sort of doesn't make sense. How like you can sort of metaphor like move images around like vertically and get the illusion of like a horizontal timeline.
Yeah,
it does sort of, at least in my mind, partially answer how you could create like this whole cacophony of like shit from like just awareness,
from nothing, from,
like nothingness, and you sort of like move it around this way and that way, and then eventually just become all the shit.
Yeah,
that sort of answers my question, at least, I guess.
Yeah, streaming cacophony made of nothing.
Yeah,
a cup of cacophony. How about a hot cup of cacophony?
Because I had read that guy's article in The Atlantic where he had been studying observation or perception or whatever he just said.
Uh-huh.
He had some equation where you could have, like, you know, consciousness and then, you know, the field of interactions and then a world. And the guy was at the end said, oh, well, doesn't that mean there has to be, like, a real external world? And he said, no, you can just swap that in for another consciousness. And it's just, like, consciousness is all the way down. And I'm like, well, that doesn't really resolve the question at all.
No.
Except now, seeing that way, these sort of makes sense because you can just
hot swap consciousness.
Sort of move things around, and
it's RAID 5. Yeah. RAID 10 hot swap consciousness.
You're kind of constantly doing that in dream state, aren't you? I mean, to me, like in dream state, I guess if I had to think of a major difference, it's that I don't have to satisfy any physical laws. You know, in other words, things can change in front of me because somewhere it's like, no, it should be this way. And then, whew, you know. And so the whole idea of the consensus reality is not there. I mean, it's only there a little bit, let's say. It's morphable. I don't know if that has anything to do with what you were talking about. Probably not.
It's morphable.
Well, it certainly seems to hint that the reality that we call more real than anything else is up really for question. Big question.
Total question. Big question. Yeah, you want to pull 2 question marks out of your holster.
Yeah. Like, hey.
Where's Pete? He would do something like that.
we entrain, you know, very quickly to the idea or myth or substantiability of what we call memory. But see, that's an idea, right? We call whatever we think it is, you know, memory or not memory. But no, there's just present effusion.
Okay, folks.
See you later.
Rock on.
Yet I remember things.
You don't really.
Yeah.
You're only functioning in imagination.
You're making a claim, that's all you're doing.
Yeah, you're making a claim.
Weak.
Yeah.
Means nothing.
Why go to that?
Why not? Don't let them talk you down. You're remembering something, all right?
Yeah.
Just don't let them talk you out of this.
I mean, I just don't see the need to go to that level of like nothing exists. I just don't see any particular.
I think to me, it enforces a timeline if you look at it that way. Now, maybe not. I guess you could look at it that way and not think of it as there being any real timeline. But
that's the thing. I do think of it as a timeline. And all that, you know, it's all. To me, it seems to be this whole entry of time. That doesn't mean that's all there is, you know. I mean, that's just this other component. And it could be some manifestation that's a lot more vaporous than we believe.
What's it? It could be.
This feeling of reality. This feeling of reality, which is time-based and spatial and all that.
Can you apply that to the concept of memories?
Is it time-based, though? I mean, it's always like, it's not like really any other time.
Time-based is another throwaway.
Right, okay. Well, it's so hard to talk about things like that because, you know, reality.
Don't cop out. Yeah. Fuck you. Hold your ground.
There's a difference between, you know, the feeling you get from, let's say nostalgia, you know, which somehow there is an aspect to it that where memory comes in, there's a this feeling thing going on. And there is this idea of memory coming into it. But that's, what is that? I mean, is that being present?
Can you appreciate, as you're speaking eloquently about these things, that they are being merely spontaneously suggested? You're not actually referring to anything that happened prior to now. You're just, like we all are, dreaming aloud.
Oh, yeah. But.
No, but.
Well.
You can return to soliloquy nonstop, and no one has any right to suggest whether to do that, not do that, continue to do that, or refrain from doing that. But you can see the geometry of soliloquy. Then if you want to turn that spontaneously appearing or morphing soliloquy into a position, into a cosmology, you can do that. But if you believe, or if you believe that this spontaneously appearing soliloquy is actually defining a findable, culpable reality, well, someone else could argue that's pretty delusional.
Well,
but you're welcome to it.
But we get lost in that.
We?
Most of our lives.
We?
Well, I do. I don't know what the fuck I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
But you don't really. I mean, this is part of the, you know, line in the sand. You have never gotten lost in anything. And you're sure as fuck not lost in it now. But if you want to
I create time with it.
No, nothing has ever happened to you. I mean, really, you create the imagination of the creation of time by referring once again to soliloquy and what you think are prior events.
Somehow soliloquy is not working for me. I'm not clear enough about what you mean.
Metaphor, imagination.
Song?
song, the song of myself. Whatever meaning that you or any of us are capable of extracting from what we refer to as memory or prior so-called found experience is unreal. It's the demonstration and the association and assignment of it is occurring presently.
Well, going to a movie, it's unreal. I mean, we're looking at a screen. It's a blank screen.
Same.
Light on it.
Same. That's why Petey likes to use the metaphor kind of frequently. It's like a movie.
Yeah.
You're being pushed around by what you imagine is a demonstrative reality that's affecting you in a pleasant or unpleasant way.
But if in the middle of the movie, my son says, like he would do occasionally, hey, it's just a movie, because I get into the movie, you know. It's like, you know, you react or something. It's just a movie, Dad. No, he's older now. You know, I mean, I see that as the same way. It's like, well,
so then that's you know, part of your charm and nature. You get into movies, and apparently, you get into reality too.
So called reality.
Yeah, you get into it. Why shouldn't you? I mean, this is a thrill ride. You know, put a nickel in the slot, go the distance.
But I'm not laying it all into the realm of materialistic consensus reality. I mean, I don't know how consensus it is, but there does seem to be some rules that we've agreed on.
So the myth, and I'll call it myth just for fun, of presently appearing, perceiving, and conceiving is capable of rattling off, you know, streams of metaphor and implication.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
And yeah, whatever rules you think consensus reality is obeying is really just your opinion.
Well, yeah, and I don't even like
all it is.
I don't even like the term rules, you know, but constructs, you know. Whatever constructs there are.
And this is the gift of the motility of consciousness, the motility of awareness. You can hang out in the metaphoric, you know, mind and come up with stories and justifications and evidence and implications and write philosophical whatever, that, or you can just drop underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
It's so convincing. Like, if you just, like, throw an object, it gives, like, the perfect illusion of it going through time. I mean, it's just fucking incredible.
It's nice, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, who needs ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Right? It's funny that way.
Yeah.
I mean, as much fun as, you know, strong and sacred medicines are, and they, you know, they rattle your cage, and for good reason. But even all of those medicines, they have a fee, they have a dependency, they have a cosmology. And your interest, one's interest, you know, as an aspiring yogi, is cosmology free, right? So without reliance on anything that even begins to reveal, right, alternative frames or textures of reality. Wow, this is pretty fucked up. I mean, it's so fucked up. Yeah, like you can throw a cushion up in the air and the sound and the view and the wind and the look, and you're like...
It creates like a perfect looking like timeline, like art. Is it?
Yep.
But it's like...
Yep.
I mean,
do you see the trail? Is it
the... No.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty back to normal now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're
still
sitting.
Like to do that with the mouse when computers were new.
The trails, yeah.
You could have the trail on the mouse. I guess you still can.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Take the pencil and the pencil, so it gets like wavy.
That's
consciousness, if there were any, is capable miraculously of fooling itself into presuming that it's something and that there's something other than it. It's neither anything, nor is there anything other than it. This is neither something nor not something. neither unconditional or conditional, neither patterned or unpatterned. So what we call, just the revelatory nature of awareness itself has no context anymore, or content. Though context and content can be found with no hesitation, mm-hmm. and all includes inclusively in nothing at all. That's where the species should go. That's where the species should go.
What species?
Yeah, exactly. I get poetic. I get sentimental. I want everyone to be Jamaican.
Well, Jamaican's nice.
Yeah. Friendly, high, and good fish.
Yeah. Jamaican would be great.
There seems to be a sense of actually the physical person not being present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean the sense that the physical person is an object? Because the presence
I think you drop the association with the physical person.
See, that's where I find a certain paradox. It's like objectification, is subject-object, as soon as you do that. But with the body, it's so weird, because we assume we are the body, right? I mean, speak for myself. growing up.
How you're learning. There's hope for you, James. Sparky comes clean.
I believe I see it in, everybody else. Growing up, boom, you associate with your body, me. When you say me, I hurt my foot, there's this meanness about the body. But then you let objectification come in, and all of a sudden you can sort of just relax and you realize, look at this. I have this sense that this hand is doing the Jesus thing, or something a body positioning. This sense of the body, then it becomes sort of an object in a way, It's outside of yourself, and that's such a hit in a way, because you've always sort of identified this feeling of the body as who you are. And here, so, in that realm, I see it as a bit of a paradox. So it's like, maybe objectification is not so bad in that realm, because maybe the subject in this case is this undefined whatever. There is no center that you can find of this subject. So that's sort of a different way of thinking about it. All of a sudden, the object becomes
right. Surely people refer to themselves as the subject. So I think you're taking a different tact on that.
When you
physical body, yeah, and then you start to get into thoughts like that.
There's a. Let's say there's two vocabularies. Of course, you know, there's many dialects.
Yeah. Right, vocabulary. Right.
So one set of vocabulary is the one that you're using, you know, eloquently and thoughtfully to draw connections and classifications and perhaps reifications. Right? That's a dialectic. What Pat was referring to, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, is a whole nother vocabulary, which doesn't operate according to metaphoric assignment.
Want to repeat what you said?
I have to say I do not know. What else can I say? Repeat what I said originally about not necessarily relating to the body?
Yeah. The body is not something about presence.
I sometimes associate myself as just.
Well, you use the word body and you and presence.
I sometimes do not associate with the body, being present in the body.
Okay.
So then.
That's not so different. I think that's what I was saying. I mean, how is that different than what I was saying?
Well, I don't know that I fully understood.
When I listened to her,
she's more poetic.
It's not like she was tripping out.
That was
more trippy.
That was the way it was conveyed. If I can draw, you know, I'm useless. We know that. That was like,
okay,
right. And then yours went into, right, trippy metaphor. I mean, doing this the way that we do it is clumsily and imperfectly.
That's style.
Yeah, it's a style. It's a style preference.
I would say that seeing the body as an object is not, I don't think, the way people normally see themselves. Wouldn't you say people normally see themselves as the subject?
Sure.
Yeah, so we just
see
different.
Themselves. Well, see, this gets so tricky.
Right.
See themselves. See their body, their perceptions, that they identify with that
right.
as who they are.
Oh, yeah, you got me right into the, there's something going on here.
Right,
and
exactly.
There's a recognizable pattern, which.
Yeah.
So. Really?
He's a scientist.
I have to go right back to I don't know.
He's a documenter. He's a quality insurance guy.
You know, why read anything? Why believe? You know, why follow politics? Why do anything if you don't have a certain amount of appreciation of it, or if you want to call it belief, you know, that there's something that's actually beyond who we think we are, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, you know, why bother? I mean, you know. I mean, I don't have any choice. I know that, you know. It's like,
yeah, but you're implying that you are bothering. And I think we're
bothering.
Pretty much saying you're really not. You're just along for the ride, whatever you are.
Oh, I don't know. This is getting too heavy for me.
You started it.
Yeah, I'm just expressing myself.
Claiming that you do things. That's the truth. You're claiming action, that you take action.
Well, I don't know. I'm claiming the things that are being done. And the
but it's not you because you're, wait a minute, you're the object is doing it. And you're not the object. So you're not doing it.
Are you telling me or asking me?
Whatever it takes.
If you're saying you're not the object, this is an object, then you're not doing
what I'm talking about is a practice. I'm not talking about that I'm do this any better than anybody else. I'm just saying I occasionally, consciously, allow myself to feel myself, my body, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I sense it in a different way. It's a more distant way. It's more like, there's this entity, and there's a body, and there's all this stuff out here, and there's perceptions,
you
and
were,
there's even thoughts.
You were saying what she was saying.
Yeah, that does sound like it.
I think so.
Then
but,
why all
the
fuss? But the
ticket is...
Jeez.
It's you. It's just you.
Well, evidently.
In that position, at that time, would you be claiming that you're doing anything?
I would be claiming that I'm maybe letting something go, letting the plumes go. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm...
Yeah, so there's the locution, the metaphor, the practice, the fruits of the practice, the claiming or release from claiming. And as that practice or any practice, you could say, you know, matures and sweetens, then we would like to think, maybe it's a bias, that this resolves without further metaphor, further ado.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a different harmonic of intelligence, a different harmonic of vocabulary or didactic becomes, you know, curiously, absolutely clear.
Well, I noticed that I definitely put my own spin on things and will use words differently.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's how you got all the girls back in high school.
No, I
didn't. You should have.
Say that I still do just things. One. It would appear. I mean,
just one.
Someone that I'm, or it might appear to someone.
That what? I've missed.
That I still do things. That I have a personality. That I react in a certain way, and I speak in a certain way. The same thing you're saying. But I might not claim that.
You're just saying that it is, that there it is.
What am I saying?
Doesn't mean you have to
claim
it. There it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, I mean, that's, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, it's the part of the fun, if not the dilemma, is that, you know, reporting on anything creates a hypnagogic effect of its own, which may or may not have anything to do with that which it purports to be reporting about.
Especially for somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. Especially for someone else. So this is effusing in, you know, kind of a hypnagogical manner through body language, what's spoken, what's unspoken, what's, right, metaphorically appearing, trying to convey a discontinuous, you know, revelatory insight into, you know, language.
For sure.
Yeah.
And when you're, I think, when you're attempting to communicate verbally, you're going to pull from concepts and perceptions. And then they're going to become associated in a point. They're going to be focus and they're not going to be open. You've
sort of congealed.
Yeah, you can't convey. I don't think you can communicate without particularizing, I guess. I don't think you can.
Right.
So then it becomes a problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so great about this environment is that the attempt is to reduce that, or the reduction idea. Where there can be a whole lot of words used, but it's not, I mean, I know I have a tendency to get into analysis and spin off, but in general, it's just more evaporative, more open. That's,
the evaporative sangha. Show up and stop finding yourself.
Stop looking.
Yeah. It's like WrestleMania.